When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.
Hello, Fantasy Baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson. This is Fantasy Baseball MLB Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. Thank y'all so much for joining me. I've got my coffee with me. I've got my wife watching Grease in the other room. And the problem with that is those songs get stuck in your head so bad. I've got Summer Lovin' all up in my head. And hopefully that little tune there is stuck in your head too. And you can suffer right along with me. You know, it's just, those musical movies, those songs are just so catchy, but there's just one that really did kind of grow on me. And I have to credit my wife for it. And it's ABBA and Mamma Mia. Those songs are the shit. I don't know what it is about those songs. They're just so catchy. They're so fun to listen to. And it's one of those guilty pleasures where you're just like, yeah, I like it. And then I get the eye rolls and the stares. Everyone's like, what's wrong with you? And it's like, you know what? Meryl Streep is a goddess. Okay. At Paul_W_34 if you disagree, because I will out you for the blasphemy against Meryl Streep. So do not at me there unless you want to be called out. @Paul_W_34. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about those shows, the movies, baseball. Just give me, what did you do for 4th of July? Do you like the barbecue? What do you barbecue? Give me your hot takes on food. Do you like honey buns as much as I do? I don't really care. Go at me, @Paul_W_34. Let's get some interaction going there. Go check out the Discord. It is in the description and podcast description. It's also on the Twitter, on Sports Ethos Twitter, @EthosFantasyBB, @EthosFantasyBB. Go check that out. Go get the Discord, go get the interaction, go ask me some questions there. Maybe I'll answer them there, maybe I'll answer them on the podcast. Just go let me know, and let's get some interaction going, y'all. I would love to hear from y'all. Let me know what you think about the show, any thoughts, questions, concerns that you have. I would love to hear it. Without further ado, let's start to talk about Bet Online real fast, because there's nothing more important than paying the bills, and we got, let me pull it up real fast. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right down to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every set, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to your online casino, get in on a game of blackjack or poker, unwind with what are over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, the game starts here. Alrighty, y'all. We're going to get into the streams. You know the rules, 65% or under, they will be talked about as a stream. If they're not talked about, it means that we're not recommending them, they suck and you don't want them, or they're so heavily rostered, they're not a stream at all. So, we start at 65% for all you shallow leaguers out there to get y'all in on the action. Alright, we're going to talk about today's streams real quick. A real quick recap. If you need more information, go listen to Anthony's podcast yesterday. And then I'll dive in deep into tomorrow's streams. Alrighty, y'all. Today's streams, we've got Kyle Gibson. He's a 14-team stream. Sean Manaea has a good matchup against the Pirates. Zach Littell at the Rangers. They haven't been very good lately. DJ Hurz is a good high strikeout volume play, and then we got Jonathan Cannon with a great matchup against the Marlins. If you want more information, more specifics as to how to use them, where to use them, all that lovely stuff, go listen to the podcast yesterday where Anthony has your back. All right, let's talk about tomorrow's streams. And for a relatively shallow slate of games, there aren't a ton of aces going. And so there's actually a good number of names for tomorrow to at least be discussed. And I will explain their value to your fantasy teams, if any. So we're going to start with Chris Paddock. And he has the White Sox. And the reason why he's here is because the White Sox suck. And so they're so bad that I think that you can consider Chris Paddock in deeper leagues. I'm talking 15 to 16 team leagues. If you're in a shallower league, a more standard sized league, just don't listen too much to this. Look, the White Sox in June and July at home against righties, they're 25th in WRC plus, 25th in line drive rate. They hit a lot of ground balls at 5th in ground ball rate. They're 14th in fly ball rate, but man, they don't hit the ball very hard, so that doesn't really matter. However, overall though, Chris Paddock is not my favorite pitcher right now, especially coming off some rehab starts and coming off the injured list. You know, he has bad hard hit rates against him. The exit velocity and barrel rates against him have not been great. That all piles up to a expected slugging up to 478. He has a very high line drive rate against him, a very high fly ball rate against him, and it all came apart really in the last couple of starts against the Athletics. You know, I was very high on him going into those starts, and then it just didn't work out. He really sputtered, and he went on the injured list with arm fatigue. And so here's the thing. If he comes out strong here against the White Sox and starts to kind of show the type of pitching that made him a pretty popular streaming pick before he went on the injured list, then maybe I can be a little more aggressive, because then the narrative could become, you know, he had arm fatigue, he wasn't feeling his greatest, he wasn't at 100%, and then he becomes back. But I'm watching this start. If he performs particularly well, I might be a little more aggressive. Some more shallower leagues might start to consider him more in the future. But for now, only 15 to 16 team leagues, only because the White Sox are that bad. And so that makes them, I guess you'd call it an orange flag overall, you know, darker than yellow. I almost didn't put him on the list at all. It's just the White Sox are just so bad. So if you're in one of those really deep leagues, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, I can see you going with Paddock just because the White Sox are that bad. But just know that this is a massive blow-up risk here. So even in those deeper leagues, I don't know just how aggressive I would be in going after Paddock. I mean, if you just don't care about the ERA and WHIP and you're just trying to chase a little extra volume and you're so far ahead there, then maybe, I guess, it becomes a little more valuable for you. But not everyone is in such a luxurious situation. All right, let's talk John Gray. And he's 33% owned, and so that's what makes him an overall fade as opposed to Chris Paddock, who's 8% owned. John Gray, at 33% owned, he's not available in those super deep 15-16 team leagues, which is the only situation in which I would even think about using him tomorrow. Overall, I'm not using him. Over the last 30 days, he has an 8.10 ERA with a 5.86 FIP. The strikeout rate has gone down all the way down to 13.6%. He's not striking anybody out. The line drive rate is a really high 21.6%. The ground ball rate is down to 38%. He's a 47% in the fly ball rate with a 42% hard hit rate. He's been getting hit hard. He's allowing a lot of line drives, of fly balls. The ERA is stupid high. The FIP backs it up at 5.86. And unlike the Paddock against the White Sox as well, he has the Angels, who aren't a great offense, but they're definitely better than the White Sox. Against righties at home in June and July, the Angels are 16th in WRC plus. They're 15th in OPS, 14th in batting average, 10th in hard hit rate. However, overall, with their lackluster batted ball bro profile at 21% line drive, 23% fly ball, 21st in line drive rate, 23rd in fly ball rate, they're 7th in ground ball rate. So they're hitting a lot of ground balls. They're not hitting a lot of fly balls or line drives, which means in a deeper league, in 15 to 16 team leagues, if you have John Gray on your roster, I can see you considering him and plugging him in, because this is a weaker Angel lineup that might be getting a little lucky on the OPS and batting average there with such a bottom third of the league ranking in line drive, fly ball, and ground ball rates. So, you know, there is a chance that this goes pretty okay for Gray, but the chance isn't all that great, and it's a chance that it only be taken in deeper leagues. But because he's 33% owned, he's just an overall fade. You're not really I don't really consider him a option in any of the leagues that he would be available in. Okay, let's talk Gavin Williams, and he has the Tigers. It's the same situation here with Gray with Williams in terms of his rostership is so high that I don't think he's necessarily a stream tomorrow for anybody. And I'm only starting him in 14-team leagues or deeper. Here's why. So Gavin Williams has made one start, and it wasn't pretty. And the main reason it wasn't pretty because that fastball was a little underwhelming, not in terms of velocity, but if you go to that lovely Baseball Savant page and go take a look at what that four-seamer was like, it returned a -3 run value, and it also had worse vertical movement in this start than he did last season. So that vertical movement number was not where he wanted to be. Combined with that -3 run value, I'm a little slightly worried about Gavin Williams, especially when you look at the ERA estimators, the xFIP, the Sierra, and the expected ERA, were all well above his real ERA. And those expected ERAs, I think, are more useful when looking at a long-term outlook of a pitcher. So here's the thing with Gavin Williams. If he does well tomorrow and you have him on your roster, I would probably view him as a sell-high candidate because people might look at that 3.29 ERA from last year. See, he's starting off this year well with a good outing against the Tigers, and then they might think, okay, he's going to be a good pitcher this year. And I don't think he's going to be necessarily a terrible pitcher, but I don't think he's going to. I don't think you expect him to return a 3.29 ERA. He has a 4.53 expected FIP, the 4.61 on the Sierra, and a 4.21 on the expected ERA. Each and every one of those are at or very close to or more than or close to one full run more than his real ERA. I mean, those were not great ERA estimators, especially when you look at the 23% strikeout rate, which is okay, not pretty okay, but a 10% walk rate, that's not great. He did have excellent extension, and he did have good fastball velocity last time out. However, he had a low ground ball rate, more than above average fly ball rate, and you're only hoping, and with Gavin Williams, what I think he's going to end up being, he's going to end up being just a moderately to okay strikeout pitcher that allows some soft contact. I think he's going to be a solid play against probably about half the league or so, and that's about where you're going to have Gavin Williams. So he's going to profile and look like a better pitcher than that. So I think you can trade him as a sell high if the Tigers, if he does well against the Tigers tomorrow, and I think there's a chance that he does. And so if you're in a 14-team league or deeper, I think you can use him because the Tigers aren't all that great. Righties at home in June and July, they're 24th in WRC+, 22nd in isolated power, 25th in OPS. And then you look at the batted ball stuff, the line drive rate is 5th. That's a little bit of a pause. However, just because they have a high line drive rate, you got to look at everything else. The soft contact is 9th in the league, so they're not hitting the ball very hard, and the hard contact is 27th in the league. So they're top 10 in soft contact, they're bottom four, whatever, in hard contact. They're not hitting a lot of fly balls, they're 27th in the league, and they're 13th in ground ball rate, so they're hitting a fair number of ground balls, not a lot of fly balls. They're not hitting the ball very hard, so the line drive rate doesn't scare me. That all accumulates to a WRC plus, isolated power, and OPS that are all in the bottom 8 of the league. The Tiger offense doesn't scare me at all, and I think Gavin Williams is a good enough pitcher where he can still do well against the Tigers, but like I said, you might want to view him as a sell high if he does do well. Let's move on to Mitchell Parker. He is 31% owned. He has the Cardinals, and he's my favorite stream of the day. And here is why. The Cardinals are against lefties on the road in June and July are not all that good. They're 27th in WRC+, they're 26th in isolated power, they're 19th in line drive rate, so they don't hit a ton of line drives. They do hit a good number of ground balls, being 8th in the league in ground balls. They don't hit a lot of fly balls either, at 22nd in the league. Mitchell Parker has been doing better. I think he's been doing better than what his number numbers have shown in the last couple of starts. In his last seven starts, he has a 3.79 ERA. The FIP is 4.42. However, the WOBA against him in this time is only 2.88 to go along with an 18% line drive rate and a 5.2% walk rate. So those are all very solid numbers. He is, however, he is a high fly ball pitcher, and this is what's been happening to him in the last few starts. The last four starts, his home run to fly ball rate has gone up to 14.7% of this time. It is 10% on the year. So he's had some pretty bad rotten home run luck, especially that came to fruition in his last game. His last game, he went six innings, allowed five earned runs. However, he only allowed five hits and didn't walk anybody. He had 14 whiffs in that game, at a 50% CSW on the curveball and the slider. He did very well. You can kind of he ran into two homers, and then the same thing happened a couple outings ago where he had 13 whiffs and a 31% CSW on the curveball, 42% on a CSW on the curveball in the outing before that one. And then he's also been getting a good CSW on his four seamer on the slider. Last time out was 50%. The ball has been finding a lot of gloves. And when you have a fly ball pitcher like Mitchell Parker, who has been allowing a 48% fly ball rate over his last seven starts.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And overall, he's also just a fly ball pitcher in general. Mitchell Parker generally is around 10% in his fly ball rate, in his home run to fly ball rate, but it went up to almost 15% in these outings. So I think that you can definitely look at the fact that he's going to have a better home run luck. He's facing an offense that doesn't hit the ball very hard, and the Cardinals themselves don't hit a ton of fly balls. They don't hit a lot of line drives. They're going to hit the ball more into the ground more. They're WRC plus and isolated power are not very good. I especially love the isolated power in this situation. So you got an offense that isn't hitting a ton of homers and isn't generating a lot of power against a pitcher that really just needs to avoid the home run ball with as a fly ball pitcher. And the fact that he doesn't allow super hard contact either overall, and he gets a ton of whiffs lately. I just like Mitchell Parker. I think eventually that home run luck is going to turn back into his favor, and I think against the offense at the Cardinals, I think you have a very good chance. So I'm rolling with Mitchell Parker tomorrow in 12-team leagues and deeper. All right, let's move on to Christian Scott. He's 24% owned against the Pirates, and they're at home, and at home against righties in June and July, they're kind of meh. They are 19th in WRC plus, 16th in OPS. They are, however, 10th in isolated power and 7th in hard hit. However, there are a few numbers here that made me think that might be a little on the lucky side because they don't have a ton of fly balls. They're 29th in fly ball rate. They're 4th in ground ball rate. They're 26th in line drives. So they're not hitting a lot of line drives, not hitting a lot of fly balls, but the isolated power is 10th and they're 7th in hard hit rate. I'm not really buying those numbers for the Pirate offense in general, especially when you consider the WRC plus is 19th. And then you go and look at what Christian Scott has done so far. I think that there's some numbers to like about him, even though he hasn't quite hit his stride in the majors as someone who is a pretty high, the 47th overall prospect on FanGraphs, and also is considered one of the better prospects in the Mets farm system. He has a 19% strikeout rate so far, but his strikeout rate in AAA was over 33%. So the strikeout rate, he has better strikeout potential than that. He has done very very well in the walk department, only 5.9% in the walk rate. He has flashed that excellent extension. And the number that I really like here is only 18% on the line drive rate. So you got an offense in the Pittsburgh Pirates that do not hit a ton of line drives, and a pitcher here who in his young major league career hasn't allowed a ton of line drives at 18%. He does a fly ball pitcher, 46% so far, with a 35% ground ball rate. And last time out, you know, his return back to the majors, he only generated one whiff with a 21% CSW. So I think that those numbers are due to go up. He is a better pitcher than that, and I think that we're eventually going to see it come from Christian Scott, and for the and with a matchup against the Pirates, I think we have a very good chance of this happening. I'm using him in 14 team leagues and deeper. In 12 team leagues, he's a little bit more risky just because I do see, you know, he's one of those rookie pitchers who we're not seeing super overly impressive numbers from him so far as a major leaguer. So I'm not super aggressive on him when it comes to 12 teams. But in 14 team leagues and deeper, he's got the matchup and he's got the potential, and I think you're doing it. Let's move on. Andrew Abbott. And I'm going to end the podcast with a couple of these lovely yellow flag streams. Abbott is 53% owned, and he has the Rockies away from Coors. And away from Coors, they're 16th in WRC Plus in June and July. They're 9th in hard hit rate with the 13th best fly ball rate. But they don't hit a lot of line drives. They're 26th. They're 12th in ground ball rate. So do hit a decent number of ground balls. But here's the thing, though. We're pitching in Cincinnati today, or tomorrow rather, and we got a pitcher in Andrew Abbott who doesn't allow a ton of fly balls at 51% on the fly ball rate and a 25% on the hard hit rate. And the hard hit rate, you know, isn't all that is pretty solid actually, right? He has been allowing overall weak contact. He's 91st percentile in hard hit rate on the year, a good exit velocity against him at 87%. He's been allowing just around league average in the barrel rate. The expected slugging is only 378. And the number I really like about Abbott is his XWOBA on contact specifically is in the top 8% in the league against him at 321. Remember, the average on that is 369. So that's a really good number. So the contact against him has been exceptionally weak. And so I do think that Andrew Abbott has a decent chance to do well. But when you get a fly ball pitcher hitting in an environment like the Reds ballpark and great American ballpark, there's always going to be kind of that risk that, you know, the ball's going to fly out of there, man. And so it's a bit of a risky proposition for me because you got a Rocky offense who actually does hit a good number of fly balls against a pitcher that does allow a lot of fly balls. There is that kind of risk here, but he is at 53% owned. So in terms of him being a fade, in terms of him being a stream in those more shallower 12 team leagues are better, I'm a little worrisome on it in terms of you picking him up in those 12 team leagues or shallower, which is where he would be a stream at 53%. If you have him on your roster, I struggled with this before I started recording. I thought I would land on it. If you have him on your roster, yeah. I mean, it's a yellow flag stream for sure because of the fly ball risk. However, he does allow exceptionally weak contact, so I think you can go with it because that contact has been so weak. But just know with the fly ball situation at Great American Ballpark, there is going to be that kind of risk there. Okay. Miles Michaelis is the last name on the list. And he has the Nationals. He's 21% owned, and I'm calling him a yellow flag. Against righties at home in June and July, the Nationals are 12th in WRC Plus. They're 14th in OPS. They're 4th in line drive rate. So they've been hitting a lot of line drives, and their WRC Plus and OPS do kind of reflect that. They do have they're 11th in ground ball rate, so they're hitting a decent number of ground balls. They're 27th in fly ball rate, so not getting the ball in the air a lot. They're 20th in hard hit rate. They're 24th, however, in soft contact. So a lot of their contact has just been kind of middling. So it's not like they're clobbering the ball, but they're also not just totally missing they're not just totally missing barrels completely. So the Nationals offense hasn't been terrible. Maybe this is a James Wood effect happening here. And I think Miles Michaelis is a little bit of a risky stream. In his last six starts, he has a 4.54 ERA. However, the FIP is only 3.45, and he does have a 2.8% walk rate in this time. So that I think is it's an excellent number for a stream, because you got a guy who's not going to walk a ton, so he's not going to hurt himself. He's going to force the Nationals to hurt him, which makes him a little bit more of a valuable stream. And then you go and look at his last two starts. Overall, two of his last three starts have been very poor, but overall, he's returned a ton of excellent outings this year, over the last six starts, he does have a pretty high line drive rate of 21%, but he's been splitting the ground ball rate and the fly balls in half, essentially. So it's not like he's allowing a ton of fly balls, and he's not necessarily getting a lot of ground balls, but you're facing an offense that is hitting a lot of ground balls, and they're not hitting a ton of fly balls. So I think the pendulum will swing more in the ground ball favor, because he really has been splitting those two things right down the middle, but you're facing an offense that hits a lot of ground balls and not a lot of fly balls. And I think Miles Michaelis will probably generate more ground balls and fly balls. But the line drive rate does kind of scare me, which makes him a yellow flag. Because they are fourth in line drives and against righties at home recently, and he has allowed a high line drive rate. So proceed with caution with the guy that allows a lot of line drives. But like I said, he has a 3.45 FIP in these last six starts, because he's been getting a little unlucky, because he's had a couple of bad starts in this time. But the FIP suggests it's been a little unlucky, and he has a very low 2.4% walk rate. So he's going to be attacking the zone. He's not going to be hurting himself. However, with the line drive numbers, it's a bit risky. It makes him a yellow flag. So proceed with caution when it comes to Miles Michaelis. Okay. Thank y'all so much for joining me. Make sure you're checking out sportsethos.com for all of our content on the football side, the basketball side. We have been running the sales, so go check those out to get in and buy low on Sports Ethos to get access to our draft guides on the football side, the NBA, the NBA season starting to heat up. Get all of the analysis there on all the free agent signings. Check out the Fantasy NBA Today podcast with Aaron Bruschi and Dr. A, as they break down all of those trades and all of the free agency signings for you. Tons more to come as well. A lot of things coming down the rumor mill. So if you want to put these moves into perspective for your fantasy basketball teams, go check them out at Ethos Fantasy NBA. Make sure you're checking out the Fantasy Baseball Twitter at Ethos Fantasy NBA, at Ethos Fantasy BB, at Ethos Fantasy BB, and go check me out all at PaulW_34, at PaulW_34. Let me know if you have any questions, comments, concerns. Let me know what you think about Grease and getting songs stuck in your head and how freaking annoying it is. Y'all have a great day. Thank y'all for joining me. This has been brought to you by Bet Online.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met, turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.